I want to talk about resolving issues. We all have issues and we all want to resolve them. Let's start with a few ideas. Here we go. Everything is energy. Our issues are energy. We are energy. Our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions are energy. Besides being energy, we move, shape, transmit, and receive energy. If there were such a thing as non-existence, it would be due to no energy. However, if we think of something, our energy just made it exist. Some energy patterns or forms of energy are perceptible to our five senses. We can look and see the sun. We can see the effects of sunlight on objects because they appear brighter or they may cast shadows. But we cannot actually see the sunlight as it travels from the sun and to the object in its paths. We're not able to see that form of energy. You can look in a mirror and pluck your eyebrows, or if you're a man, you could shave your face or trim your facial hair. And when you do that, those actions, you will be thinking thoughts, but you're not going to be able to see the thoughts. However, you may be able to see the effects of the thoughts on your face, maybe in the tension that now shows up because of what you're thinking about, or maybe there is no issue and your face muscles are relaxed. Maybe you have a sparkle in your eyes, or maybe there's darkness in your eyes, depending on what thoughts you're thinking. As Napoleon Hill said in the great book, Think and Grow Rich, and if you haven't read that, that is a fantastic book, and one of the first that set me on the path of energy and self-improvement and so on, Think and Grow Rich. He said, thoughts are things. Abraham of Abraham Hicks says, thoughts have consciousness and they will draw to themselves thoughts of a similar vibration. That means thoughts can grow. Perhaps they only grow in power. Maybe they grow in size too. For certain, though, they grow in their ability to influence and impact us. So, what are issues? When I talk about resolving issues, what do I really mean by issues? Well, we probably could talk for hours and days on that subject, but I define issues as the energy patterns that cause us stress because we have difficulty responding specifically and effectively to resolve them. Think of a flat field, such as a football field or a soccer field. An issue would be an obstacle in the field which poses a problem for us to go over or around or under or through. And we do desire to progress on the field. Okay, what's a playing field? For my purposes, I have imagined human activity as falling into 12 categories that I call the 12 worlds. I think life is, as a human being, requires us to move forward in these fields. Maybe one field is more important to you than another in these 12, but moving forward, making progress, we do have to grow to advance. Resolving issues may not be easy, but resolving issues is simple. Simple because there are just a few fundamentals that need to be taken into consideration. All we have to do is change our relationship with the issue. For many people, the idea of changing our relationship with an issue means changing the issue and not changing themselves, their beliefs, their perceptions, their perspectives, their feelings, or their emotional states. It is changing the other thing that they're interested in because they think that's the approach to take. Parents want to change their children, but they don't want to change their own parenting approach to their children. Bosses want to change their employees, but not their own management style. Employees want to change their bosses, but not their own work ethic or behaviors. Everyone wants the world to change, but only a few are willing to be the change. Even though Gandhi speaks to that issue and says, If you want the world to change, be the change. Be the change you want. And, of course, that makes perfect sense if you think about it. Let's look at issues again. You're a certain weight. You got to weigh something, right? If you didn't weigh something, you wouldn't exist. But for your weight to be an issue, it must be something other than what you want or what you should weigh, according to somebody else's standard. By focusing on this created discrepancy of what you weigh and what you want or should weigh, you've created an issue. Congratulations. We feel this discrepancy, and our self-talk is negatively affected by it. I like the image of a sine wave. That image can be used to visualize life in a lot of different ways. For me, the sine wave represents the rhythm of life, the inevitable ups and downs, and ups and downs, and ups and downs. The sine wave of life is not a smooth line that you would see in, say, an arithmetic or mathematics textbook, but it's a jagged line because many of the minute ups and downs cause go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, all within a broader up and down activity of that sine wave. Important events that would be considered positive and negative would create larger spikes up or larger dips down. So you can get that idea as this wave, this rhythm moves up and down. If we saw the reality of the law of cause and effect, we'd realize that issues are the effects that have been caused. If we want not to have these effects, guess what? We can change the causes. Since our ways of thinking, feeling, speaking, acting are causative, these are what we'd want to resolve or change first. When human beings deal with issues, they can and do choose a wide variety of ways to do that. The military approach is very popular, and it's used to kill and destroy. But it's usually focused on an effect that is mislabeled as the cause. You don't like somebody, you want to kill them or destroy them. That's what we do militarily. Western medicine uses this slightly modified military approach to poison, cut, and burn the effects, which are still mislabeled as being causes. Look at the treatments for cancer, and you go, I get it. Poison, cut, and burn. Yep. We use those same approaches in Vietnam to no real good effect. One idea often repeated by Abraham of Abraham Hicks is that no one can create in our space without our permission. We are the creators of our lives and the conditions that we experience. That would mean if we have an issue, we were involved in creating that issue. And I will bet this. Most of our issues are created by our resistance. We resist our feelings. We resist other people's feelings. Oh, don't feel that way. Don't feel that way. Oh, don't cry. We resist actions that need to be taken. Oh, I think I'll procrastinate for a while. Let me go turn on the TV. We resist ourselves through our inner conversations. I don't think I can do that. And we resist. We put on our own brakes. We insist that we don't want to do things. We don't like this and we don't like that. We can't do this and we can't do that. We reject the idea of reducing the vibrational distance between us and the subject, and this is how we create an issue. When we delay dealing with an issue, demand, a problem, a desire, or a whole bunch of things like that, we are building up energy. You know, I'm waiting. And if we're deliberately getting geared up, that's one thing. And you can see that in a racehorse getting ready to be released from the gate, or you can see it as sporting events where the players are are about to start the game, the kickoff is about to occur, all of that is getting worked up, vroom, 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 and they're about to go into gear. And so that's a good thing. However, if we delay any actions due to anxiety or fear, then that buildup is going to feel like stress. I think there's some sort of a Chinese proverb that talks about, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. But every journey starts with a single step. And this is true of resolving issues. Being able and willing to define and take a manageable step toward the resolution of an issue is important. If the step is too large, if it's out gradient, then it will tend to create bad feelings about our ineffectiveness. It's like a little child trying to walk down stairs that are way too high for that child's short legs, and then the child goes toppling down the steps. That outgradient happens all the time. And maybe for some people, and I've noticed this in traveling at, you know, archaeological areas or historic sites, if the step is too small, it can lead to difficulty in moving forward. It can lead to, on an energetic level, boredom or discouragement at the lack of progress. The step needs to be appropriate for us, for our mindset, for our bodies, if we're talking in terms of physical steps. But you'll be able to define that for yourself. People may say, money is the issue, or weight is my issue, or health is my issue. They may say those things, but they wouldn't be accurate. Think of this as I drill down and just see if you can get a feel for it. Money is the issue. Lack of money is the issue. My spending too much money is the issue. I don't earn enough money, and that's the issue. I binge shop to alter my moods using money. I don't express myself valuably to generate more money. Using money as a drug is the issue. Needing to use money as the drug to overcome bad feelings about myself is the issue. Bad feelings about myself in relation to money, self-worth, and value are the issues. You go, oh, okay, I see. It's very easy to stay with the symptoms, but if we drill down, we're liable to get to the issue. I recently had internet streaming issues, and I lost the internet completely on Friday night. This is an area that is challenging for me because it's related to communication. So tech support at my ISP, my internet service provider, they were great on Friday night, but I didn't get the internet back. I still had the issue when I went to bed. I was almost content to be without the issue until Tuesday morning when the technician is scheduled to show up. But on Saturday morning, I wasn't able to have this issue without engaging with it again. So I engaged with it on Friday night and went to sleep, and then in the morning re-engaged with it. I'm like a dog on a bone with this sort of thing technologically. I can't give up, even when it makes sense to. But on Saturday morning, another tech guy helped me get the wired internet, and that was reestablished, but not wireless in my house. And I can live without wireless until Tuesday now. A lot of resolving problems, resolving issues, requires that we engage with the issues, back away, try to understand more about what we learned in that engagement, and then re-engage. Now that sounds a little bit of complicated jargon. Let me just go through it again. We engage with the issue. And in that process, we gain information. We back away from it. We process the information. What did I learn? What did I learn? What should I do differently? What should I adjust? And then we re-engage. We repeat this process until the issue is resolved or a time limit is reached. And once that time limit is, you know, the game is over, if you will, or, oh, I got to go on to something else. Today is Super Bowl Sunday in the United States. The Super Bowl is the highlight of American football. If you know anything about football, or other sports are similar in what I'm about to say, the process that I just described, this engage with the issue, pull back, figure out what you learned, and re-engage. That process is what happens over and over in a game. The team with the ball engages, it collides with the opposing team looking for weaknesses in their defenses so as to be able to advance the ball down the field to the goal line. And if they can score a touchdown, that's the goal. After each play, another play is called based upon what was learned on that last play, as well as the overall plan for engagement created during the preparation for the game long before the game started. The opposition or the defense team is doing exactly the same thing. They're learning from their plan and each play what to do on the next play to prevent the other team from advancing to the goal line. So it's all about the same thing. They're both trying to resolve the issues. One is trying to resolve the issue of the defense, and the other is trying to resolve the issue, which is the offense of the other team. I slept overnight on my internet issue. And the teams in the Super Bowl have timeouts, and they have halftime to regroup and re-engage. They're not going to be able to take a nap. They're not going to be able to sleep. But they do have this time. What did we learn? What should we do? How should we adjust? Many issues can be resolved in a single unit of time. But the more complicated ones need multiple engagements and multiple pullbacks in order to achieve resolution. And outside viewpoints and skills are often required. Feedback from tech support for me and from other coaches and offensive coordinators and people up in the upper boxes who are seeing the field from a different viewpoint are offering advice to the offense and the defensive coaches, adjust this way, adjust that way. And it's normal for us to get feedback from other people in order to resolve issues. Here's an issue that you're going to want to have. On February 5th, which is today, I knew the lemons on my Myers lemon tree needed to be harvested. I've been harvesting for the last 6 weeks or so, and I harvested some today. February 5th, harvesting lemons. Not a bad winter issue, right? But it's an issue. Time is a factor in most issues, and it was for me as well. Okay, I got all these things I want to do, and this one is going to take a certain amount of time, and how do I squeeze it in? And therein is a challenge. Getting started is almost always a factor in all issues. I think I saw something years ago that said when a rocket is launched from, say, Cape Canaveral, the amount of energy necessary to move it from the launch pad out of the atmosphere requires about 80% of the energy, and everything else simply consumes the 20%. It's like, oh, getting started is overcoming inertia. Yeah, really requires a lot of energy. So it's true in this case, too, in resolving issues. Getting started is a factor. We have so many activities competing for our attention and action that we can be stuck with in one place doing nothing. I should do this. Well, I should do that. No, I should do the laundry. No, I should go shopping. No, I should do the lemons. No, I should mow the lawn. No, I should get the car washed. No, I should tidy the house. No, right? And you just go, you could get exhausted just by being stuck in that kind of a loop. In the morning, I drink lemon juice, honey, and hot water blended in my magic bullet. And it's recommended to wait 30 minutes before you consume anything else, any other beverages, which in my case will be coffee with bone broth, coconut oil, and butter, and then regular coffee to finish off the pot, a large part, by the way. So, my friend Catherine brought out a bucket and a rod from the garage that I used to reach the higher lemons on the tree. And she said, well, maybe in the half hour before breakfast, once you're done with the lemon drink, you would want to pick the lemons. As I said, getting started is a big factor in resolving issues. Bringing the bucket and the rod from the garage is getting started. Catherine got me started. And when I considered the time requirements of a day, it actually was a good time to do the picking. Now, I certainly could have gotten a bucket and a rod from the garage myself, but it was helpful to have that additional energy to get started. And the need for two energies to resolve issues is pretty common. For people who want a baby but don't yet have a baby, this is an issue. And guess what? It takes the energies of two people to conceive a baby. I noticed over the years that it can take two people to start a business, but once started, it can be continued by one person. If we could resolve the issues of life all by ourselves, we wouldn't need anybody else. But we can't, and we definitely need other people, and other people need us. Here's another part of my lemon issue. And it's okay if you don't say, oh, poor Tom, so many lemon issues in the winter. I have about 100 lemons. And there are more on the tree yet. I will give a lot of these away to friends and neighbors, but I will squeeze some of them and freeze the juice so that I can have it all year round for my lemon juice in the morning routine. Sometimes the resolution of an issue requires a staging area for preparing for the actual engagement. Right now, the lemons are in a large utility sink in the laundry room. They're just sitting there. Why, it's a holding area, that's basically it. Because we're having a Super Bowl party later today, and another project is going to take my time this afternoon before the game, the lemons are going to sit there for another day and a half. When I'm ready to start squeezing them, I'm going to bring them into the kitchen, to the counter, which is my actual workspace. You could think of a staging area as a place to gather items for the future activity of the resolution of the issue. When Marianne and I traveled, we used a guest bedroom near the master bedroom as the staging area. About 2 weeks before the travel, we would start putting stuff, clothes, dop kit, sneakers, whatever else that we were going to take on that trip. And I'm talking about trips that were going to last 2 weeks or maybe even longer. So we would assemble all this stuff on the bed, and a couple of days before the trip, we would pack suitcases. The night before the trip, I would load the suitcases in the trunk of the car, and on the morning of before we headed out either to the airport or started on our road trip, we would shut down our computers, put them in suitcases, and put them in the car, and off we'd go. If you want to resolve issues, and of course you do, you'll want to consider these factors. Time. This is the when and how much you think will be necessary in order to accomplish the resolution of the issue. But here's some advice. Everything takes longer than it takes. Knowing that can save you a lot of frustration and bad feelings, because when it goes past your previous expectation, that's when we start to beat ourselves up, think something is wrong, or even consider quitting entirely. Everything takes longer than it takes. The second item is the staging area. This is the location you're going to use for the preparation, for the stockpiling of the needed materials and so on. It's a place that doesn't interfere with your normal daily activities that you have to conduct. Under normal circumstances, if I'm going to deal with lemons, and only a small number of them, say 20 or so, I will bring them into the house, I'll put them in the kitchen sink, I'll wash them, and then let them dry a little bit, and then start cutting and squeezing. But not today. So I need a staging area. The third item is getting started. This can be the babiest of baby steps. The easier this step is, the easier it will be to get started. Because once you're in motion, your momentum can carry you a long way. If you want to write a novel, if you want to start drawing or painting, you can just clear a space. You've already started. Arrange a pen and paper. You've started. Put up your easel. You have started. Get out your sketchbook. You have started. Arrange your pencils. You have started. These little baby steps make it easy for us to get going. All the while, you've got to take into consideration this idea of talking to yourself. Now, in any one of these processes of drawing, painting, picking lemons, doing the laundry, going shopping, you can discourage yourself by what you say to yourself. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to do something, why not be your own cheerleader? Why not be encouraging in your self-talk? Because you want to deliver energy to you in order for you to accomplish whatever that activity is. Your self-talk is crucial. And if you need help, get it. Ask for it. Look for it. It's there. It's on the internet. If you need a person, find a person that you know, that knows something about what you're dealing with. Or a person with two ears. If you just need to talk in order to clarify a couple of points, in order to get started, hearing yourself explain it to somebody else can make it so real and so manageable. Get help if you need it. And the sixth point I wanted to deal with is, of course, resolve the real issue, not just the symptoms. Focus on the issue. If you're thinking in terms of five senses, oftentimes you're going to be dealing with symptoms. Dig deeper for the cause. Don't stop at the effects. As common as that is, as easy it is, as alluring as it is to deal with effects, it's ineffective. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.